In today's Mishnah, we learn the 5th and 6th Mishnah from the first parak of Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah begins, Ein danin lo et hashevet lo et hanavi sheker lo et kohen gadol ela al pi beitin shel 71. So when it comes to judging a shevet, so it means literally this means an entire tribe. So for this example, if most of the tribe or the entire tribe had been worshipping Avodah Zarah deliberately, that would require a Beit Din of this, the Sanhedrin Gadol, which would involve 71 judges. And that's based on the Pasuk, because this is, that when it comes to judging an individual, that's when you use a Beit Din of 23. That implies that if it comes to a group, a large group of people, for example, a Shevet, we'll learn another case in a moment, like a city, then a Beit Din of 20 would be insufficient. You need a Beit Din of 71, which is the Sanhedrin. The next one is that of a Navi Sheker. This refers to a false Navi. It was a capital offense. He receives Chenek. However, why is it that we need a Beit Din of 71? Why isn't it considered like a normal capital offense? That is because we have a Gzeira Shava. The term Davar is used by both in the Parsha of Navi Sheker and that of Zaken Mamre, of which we'll learn about soon. Zaken Mamre, it refers to an individual who rules against the Sanhedrin and maintains that position. We'll learn about that in detail at a later point. And the final one is a Kohen. That if a Kohen Gadol does a serious violation that would be punished by a Mitat Beitin, in other words, a capital offense, then he wouldn't be judged by a normal Beitin of 23, Sanhedrin Katan. He would require a Sanhedrin. That's because when it refers to the Sanhedrin, it says, Vaya kol hadavar hagadol yavio alecha, that all great things have to be brought to you. And understand, what is a Davar Gadol? Well, he referring to the Kohen Gadol himself. Interestingly, Kati notes here, this is, however, if it was a simply monetary issue that Kohen Gadol had a dispute about, then that would be judged in a normal fashion. It wouldn't require the Sanhedrin. Let's continue. So we've discussed this previously. There were different types of wars. There was a Mechemet Mitzvah, for example, when they were trying to conquer Eretz Israel, or a Mechemet Amalek, or if they're being attacked. This is not what the Mishnah is referring to. What the Mishnah is referring to is a Mechemet Reshut, and that's where the king wishes to expand his borders in order to either, say, collect extra taxes as part of the battle. In that situation, they wouldn't have the ability to force Am Yisrael to join in this war unless, of course, the Sanhedrin agreed to it. The Mishnah continues, Ein Mosifim Al Ha'ir. This is if they want to expand the size of Yerushalayim, Va'al Hazarot, or the Beit HaMikdash itself, El Al Pi Beitin Shimim Ve'achad. That would require the full Sanhedrin for this. That is because the Yerushalayim has a greater Kedushin than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and the Beit HaMikdash has a greater Kedushin than Yerushalayim. And since we're expanding, or adding, increasing the Kedusha, that requires the Sanhedrin. We learn this actually from the building of the Mishkan itself. It says, K'chol ha'shana merot ha'etar v'mishkan, it says, v'chen tasu. So in other words, I'm referring to this, I'm showing you the way that we build this Mishkan and all its forms, and so you shall do. What does it mean, so you shall do? Well, that means that just as it was sanctified through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was in place of the Sanhedrin at the time when the Mishkan was constructed, so too, if you're going to expand Yerushalayim or you're going to expand the Azarot, then you require the proper Sanhedrin. Eino sim Sanhedriot lishvatim, when they would institute the small Sanhedrin, meaning the Beit Din of 23 judges, and that was a mitzvah to place b'chol sharecha, amongst all cities that we'll learn about in a minute that were actually qualified for it, that required a Beit Din of 71 of 71. Mishnah then continues, Einosin ir nidachat el api beitin shemi vechad. An ir nidachat refers to a city that is in the majority or completely full of idol worshippers when there is Israel. And the law is that they would come and destroy the city, they would kill its occupants or the residents. I think we'll learn about that later on, I think in the next Masechta in a bit more detail. However, the point is, in order to give that ruling that such and such city is an ir nidachat and needs to be destroyed, that will require a Beit Din of 71. Ve'inosin erni dacha besvar, one's not allowed to, if there's a city on the border that seems to qualify to be defined as an erni dachat, they wouldn't rule that city to be erni dachat. Similarly, they wouldn't make, if there were three cities, a cluster of them together, Beit Din would not make those three cities erni dachot. However, aval sim achat or shtaim, you could make one or two, meaning two if it is in two different areas, like Yehuda and Galil, but not if they're samuch to one another, say, in the same area. Why is this? What's a restriction in Nidachat of putting the border or clustered if there's three, or say two within a particular region? That is because it actually presents a security concern. Because if the hostile neighbors see that there's a border city has been destroyed, it might give them an opportunity to come in. Or if there's now a void within the country that is unoccupied, again, it might present them an opportunity to attack. Let's now learn Mishnah Vav. Sanhedrin Gdola, Haita Shel 71. So we've been explaining until now that the major Sanhedrin, the Beitin Gadol that was in Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash, that had 71 judges. Ktana had 23. Now Mishnah asks, Uminayin L'Gdola Shehi Shel 71. How do I know that the large Sanhedrin had 71? Shneimar, as it says, Asveli Shivim Ish Mizik Ne Yisrael. Because the Torah said, you should collect for me, you should gather for me 70 judges, Moshe Al Gabehem. And Moshe is on top of them, the Mishnah comments, because it says, V'nasu itcha, and he should be with you. If you do the math, then if it's Moshe plus the 70, you get to 71. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, when it says itcha, it means similar to you, meaning the Sanhedrin didn't require Moshe's presence to be part of the Sanhedrin. The Shivim Zekinim operated as a Sanhedrin without Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Sanhedrin only needs 70. So what's the itcha? Meaning domim lecha, that are like you, the miyuchas, they don't have any mumim, they don't have any blemishes. When the pasuk says itcha, with you, the pasuk is according to Rabbi Yehuda, we instruct Moshe about the qualifications of the various dayanim that should be selected to fill these positions. So therefore we have a debate, as I mentioned when we started the Masechta, exactly how many people were seated in this Sanhedrin Gadol. The Sanhedrin Shalayim, was at 71 or 70 itself? And we've been explaining 71, and we'll continue with that explanation. Minayin l'ktana shiyishdel 23. How do I know that a Beit Din of 23 requires this, or Sanhedrin Ktana that requires only 23? Shneimar says, v'shaftu et ha'eda, and the pasuk continues later, v'etzilo et ha'eda. So we've got Eida referred to twice. We've got Eida shofetet, meaning we've got an Eida that's going to incriminate. Against him, you've got an Eida that's matzelet, that's going to act in the defense. So therefore, you've got Eida plus Eida. Mishnah says, well, Eida plus Eida equals Harikan Isrim. So the implication is the term Eida suggests 10 judges, so Mishnah, or 10 individuals. So Mishnah says, Minayin le'eida shiyasara. How do I know that Eida refers to 10? Shneimar, as it says, Ad matai le'eida hara'a hazot. So when it refers to the spies that entered Eretz Israel, Hashem referred to them and says, how long will this Eida ra'a hazot? He referred to these spies that they were evil ones as being Eida ra'a, an evil congregation. So even though there are 12 spies, you have to take away Yitzhu, Yehoshua, and Kalev, they gave a good report. So therefore, now we know that Eida is 10. So far we've got 10 plus 10 is 20. We haven't got to 23 yet. So Mishnah says, Manei Lavi Od Shlosha, how do we get the extra 3? So Mishnah Shneimat Lo Tiyar Achei Rabim Lera'ot. Firstly, the Torah says you're not allowed to go after the majority to incriminate. Shomeani She'eye Mahim Latova, that I can go according to the majority to acquit. Imken, Lama nomar acheri rabim lehatot. So why does the pasuk later also make reference to not going after the rabim? So it says, Lok ha-hatayatcha la-tova ha-hatayatcha la-ra. That your hataya, your bending, meaning hachrea, the way we determine what the ruling is based on the numbers of judges saying either for or against, whether guilty or innocent, is he's saying when you're the hataya to acquit someone is not going to be the same hataya or the bend or the lean in order to find the individual guilty. Why? Hatayatcha l'tova, in order to acquit someone, we say the sufficient was just one, majority of one. So say, for example, it was 11 against 10. We'll see how that works in a minute. But when it comes to hatayatcha l'ra, you need al pishnaim, you need two. In other words, it's not enough to have one to incriminate. You need actually a majority of two. So that would bring us up to, if you need, well, now you need two extra to have a majority to incriminate. So that gets us to 22. And the Mishnah finishes, Ve'in Beit Din Shakul, that since we can't have an even Beit Din, so therefore, since I want to get to 22, let's add an additional one. Motzifam Le Odechad, we get to add an extra one. Harei Kan Esrim Ushlosha. That's how we get to 23. The Mishnah continues, V'kamiya ba'ir, how big does a city have to be in order to warrant having a Sanhedrin Katan? Ktana, sorry, to having this Beit Din of 23. Mishnah says, Me'a v'isrim, has to have at least 120 residents. I'll explain in a minute, whereas Rabbi Nechemiah says, No, matayim u'shlosha, you need 230. Why? Keneged sarei asarot. Each of the dayanim have to be like a sar, have to have a rule over 10. So 23 times 10 equals 230. With that, we end the Mishnah. But let's just go back for a moment and see why the minimum number of residents is 120. In other words, why is this the minimum number of people we need in a city to make it significant enough to warrant having its own Sanhedrin Beit Din of 23? So with that, we'll look at Kati, who fleshes it out for us. First is, a Sanhedrin Katana obviously is 23 itself, so you need 23 residents at least. And there are also Shlosha Shurot Shel Talmidei Chachamim. The way this Beit Din sat in the time, it wasn't just the Beit Din operated with the judges alone. They would have three rows of Talmidim. Each row would have 23 individuals in front of them. And as a seat would be made vacant, say on the Beit Din, they would take someone from the first row, and the second row someone would propagate up, and third row someone would go up to the second row, and then they'd fill the last row with someone from, I guess they'd advertise the post for the third row. And that's how it worked. So we're already up to 69 individuals in the city. Next is Asara Batlanin, which is the 10 individuals that we learned about back in Masechta Megillah, the 10 individuals that were always sitting in the Beit Midrash learning. Although the minyan makers have different explanations on that. The next is we need two sofrim, two scribes that would write out the divrei mezakim as mechaim, both the arguments for and against. Shnei shamshei beit din, they were the two individuals that would lahalkot et achiyav ulazmin balei dinim, one to give the punishment, another one to actually invite the balei dinim to the beit din. Next, you need shnei balei dinim, you need two individuals. Then you need two edim, two witnesses. Shnei edei zomim, you need two witnesses that can potentially come and testify that these first two witnesses are false. And you need those people to be possible to present in order to have a deterrent to stop people from thinking they can simply testify falsely. And similarly, you need, for the same reason, Shnei Zomei Zomamim. You need two other individuals possible to come to say that these witnesses that said that the first witnesses are false, that they themselves were false. In other words, as a deterrent for people to come up and present themselves and lie by saying that the first set of witnesses are actually false. So you need the Zomim and the Zomei Zomamim. Next, also, you need shtei gabei tzedaka, every city has to have, and a shlishi, you need a third, because when you distribute the tzedaka, it has to be with three individuals. And finally, you need a rofe, a doctor, a lablar, a scribe, a malamed tinokot, a teacher, and with that, you get up to 23. Those are the Mishnah today.